This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show.
What's up, buddy?
Podcast magic.
That's what I heard. Gosh. I just made a new friend on Twitter.
Yeah?
Yeah, the guy that wrote Marvel The Untold Story.
Oh, really?
Yep. I'm going to see if I can have him on a podcast, actually. I just thought about that.
Yeah, I really enjoyed that book.
Yeah, I think we've all read it, right? I know you have. I think Ronnie did. Aaron doesn't read books, so he doesn't know what it is.
I think he's listened to it.
Has he?
Yeah, because I told him about it a while ago. And when he was looking for audiobooks, and I'm pretty positive he listened to it.
He better have gone to audible.com/Valiant Central Podcast. That's all I know.
Yeah, that bastard.
That bastard. I'm going to cancel that rebirthically. They never read anything anyway.
It's a terrible podcast. I did shit a long time ago. And immediately after I did, they ruined every purpose I had for it.
They did change it when you left, didn't they?
Yeah, well, it was funny because when we were doing it, it was literally, we wanted to do it because we weren't big DC guys and we want to talk about the books, and immediately after I left, they had Mike and Daryl on. And that was literally what we said we would not do. So they just turned it into a boring-ass DC podcast, and that's what it was.
Wow. Valiant Central Podcast, Paul, that's what this is. Yeah, we're rolling. Rolling down the river.
All right.
This is episode 133 of the show that we do. What are we here to talk about? Oh, Valiant stuff.
We're here to talk about comic books. And you know what? In the last week,
I know where this is going.
I've had two very good examples of like some of what's the best about collecting comics.
Oh, do tell.
And where you thought I was going is I think that in the last week I've also seen one big example of one of the worst things about comics. But we'll start with the best. So first of all, I think it was last week, late last week, my shop owner posted on Facebook that he was selling a spinner rack because he got the spinner rack he wanted. And so I sent him a message and was, you know, I asked him how much he wanted for it, and his price was reasonable, but you know, if he wanted a really low price, I may, like my wife was even like, "Oh, you should get that and put it in the corner of your office." And if it was cheap, I would have. But he sold it for what he wanted to, which is good for him, anyways. But anyway, so he told me, you know, "Oh yeah, I got what I wanted. I found a good deal on it." And he told me that it came with two trash bags full of comics.
Wait, like trash bags. Literally trash bags?
Trash bags full of comics. Mm. So I was like, I'll come take a look at them. Because I knew for a fact, like, there's no way he wanted those. He bought 26 long boxes of comics a couple months ago that he's still very slowly working through. And he does not have a lot of physical space. So, so I said, oh, yeah, I'll drop by on Saturday on my way home and I'll take a peek at what you got. So I go by, and he pulls them out, and I was like, you know, what do you want for, you know, the comics? And he's like, how about $20 a bag? And I was like, I don't want to spend that much. You know, how much do you want per comic? And I'll look through and see if I find some stuff. And he's like, well, make me an offer. And so I said, I'll give you $10 a bag. And he said, how about 15? I was like, nah, okay, I can't spend that much. Like, I'm really tight on money. I got to minimize what I'm spending. So we ended up agreeing on $12 a bag with me paying him part of it then and then part of it later when I can afford to. And so I took it home, got over 500 comics. A lot of it very bad stuff. There were some indie comics in there that were truly god-awful. Like really indie stuff, and it's the kind of thing I'm looking at. I'm like, man, these people they deserved to fail at their dreams. This is just bad. I found one gem in there. So like, there's a lot of stuff that was kind of interesting to me. Like when I kind of peeked through, I saw some titles that I was kind of interested in checking out that I hadn't yet, like Cloak and Dagger. A Booster Gold from DC, you know, like a few things like that. It's like, for pretty cheap, like I can make this worthwhile, like check out, kind of dip my toes in different things. But I found The Death of Robin.
Mm.
It survived being in a trash bag full of comics unscathed. So it's in pretty darn good condition. It has a few, you know, ticks along the spine and those kind of things that you see in older comics. But yeah, it's like that alone is more than worth what I spent.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, I got one cool book. I've been kind of farming out the crap load of stuff that I got to other people that I thought might enjoy some, you know, big box of comics for cheap as hell. So I'm trying to get it narrowed down enough that it could be a box that I stick in the corner and occasionally pull a few things out of to read, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But that was a lot of fun. Like, I enjoy that kind of thing. And the other thing that happened is I was out with my son and popped into a little comic shop. It's more of a video game store, and they also have comics. And the comics are clearly secondary to them because whenever they have used stuff, it's usually pretty cheap. And I found the whole 12-issue run of Crisis on Infinite Earths for $1 an issue.
Nice.
Yeah, and that's like, I talked to a few people, and it sounds like that's probably like $60 to $100 worth of comics right there.
Hmm.
So, two nice experiences. Like, that's the stuff that's really fun about being a comic collector to me, especially when I can't just go out and buy everything that I want with comics.
Sure.
You keep your eyes open. It's amazing what you can come across sometimes. It's always cool to see people's really good finds.
I haven't found anything good because I haven't bought any comics. Well, like old comics. I've got new comics, but no old comics.
Yeah, you're born like that.
Yeah, well, you know, I've got enough to read, Paul.
Yeah, you know, see, honestly, that's where I am. I have so much built up to read that the only reason I got these two things I got is, one is, when you have the chance to buy over 500 comics for $20, it's like, how are you going to pass that?
Mm-hmm.
And the other one, it's like, I even walked away from getting the Crisis on Infinite Earths. I was like, I don't know. But then I looked it up and I kind of figured that they're worth significantly more than $1 an issue.
Sure.
So I was like, okay, I'll get that.
Yeah, yeah. Now, I'm trying not to do a whole lot of that stuff, man. Matter of fact, I got a message today from Chris Parton, who does the Boom Addiction podcast. And I guess he got like a stack of variants because he messaged me. He's like, hey. And I was like, nah, dude. I was like, I don't collect this stuff anymore. I'm just sticking with the eight covers. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Screw that other stuff. But hey, if you're still doing it, cool. Good for you. Good for you. I just can't. I can't warrant it anymore, Paul.
Yeah, I mean, I have five comics I'm subscribed to. One has been on hiatus. One comes out sporadically every like 4 to 8 months. So I'm getting very little comics right now.
Which one's that?
Love and Rockets.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's one you expect to come out sporadically.
Yeah, yeah. But you've got a new Motor Girl.
Yeah, I haven't been able to pick it up yet, but Ronnie said that it's a pretty hard-hitting issue.
Nice. Yeah, I gotta pick that up. I saw there's a couple I might get, actually. One in particular. Valiant is doing these, like, retailer previews. You know they always do the retailer previews for, like, big cons? They're doing a couple for San Diego, which I didn't realize is, like, at the end of the month.
Mm-hmm.
But they're doing Bloodshot Salvation and Quantum and Woody. I don't know what the Quantum and Woody deal is, because it's a blank retailer edition, but it's got an actual cover on it. So I don't understand why it's called a blank edition. And the Bloodshot Salvation just looks like whatever, a regular Bloodshot Salvation with some preview stuff in it. But the one I'm really interested in, and it makes me mad because I've been asking this for years, is the Ninja K number one script edition. And the cover looks like, you remember the old retailer previews when Acclaim was doing them? It was just a white cover.
It basically looked preview. Like a script, and that was it.
Yeah, yeah. It's like that for Ninja K. And I really want that. So I've been asking him to do, like, include either parts of the script or whole scripts and books for a while. They told me it probably would never happen. I guess guess things change, Paul. Guess things change. But yeah, I want that book. I like reading comic strips. I wish more writers would put them on their websites or whatever. Van Lanty's really good about it. If you go to Van Lanty's website, he's got quite a few scripts on there. And like, he even has pages where he breaks them down, so like you learn why he does certain things in the script. He's got blank scripts on there, so you can write your own based on his outlines and things. It's pretty sweet.
Yeah, see, that just goes to show that different people like different things. Because I have always found scripts being included as like the worst extra. Like, I'm never gonna read a script in a comic ever.
Really?
Yep, I have absolutely zero interest in that.
Huh.
And, it's like you get, like, special editions of various kinds. Like, I don't remember if the Bloodshot Director's Cut had it, but it'd be that type of book that would have it where it's, here's a alternate presentation with some extra stuff, or you buy a deluxe hardcover collection or stuff like that. Yeah, I never, ever, ever read the script.
Interesting.
Yeah, I mean, it really goes to show different people, different things appeal to different people. And that's why when something comes out that somebody's not interested in, if you complain about that being available, it's just stupid. Because, there's something else that you like, that what you would like to see, that other people don't give a shit about. So if you don't give a shit, then just don't give a shit and leave it at that. I don't understand that. Because, I mean, you're just all hyped up about a script, and I'm like, fuck that.
I can't believe you, Paul.
If I want to read a comic, I'll read the comic. I don't need to read the comic without the pictures.
I understand what you're saying, but I mean, you're a book reader, Paul. I would think that you would want to see the script.
I don't want to read a movie script.
I don't like reading movie scripts. Movie scripts have a lot more directions than comic scripts. Well, it depends on the writer. Some writers are very descriptive. But I think movie scripts are much more detailed than a comic strip is. I think a lot of times in the comic strip, the writer will know who he's working with or she's working with. And they trust the artist to do certain things with the script that they maybe don't feel like they need to write. You know what I mean? But I've seen some comic scripts where like the writer will spend an entire page or two just describing one panel of the book. But, I mean, those kind of writers are few. I mean, all the scripts that I've seen, they fill in some details, but they leave some to the imagination of the artist.
Yeah.
Anyway, it doesn't matter. I think it's cool. I'm going to get a copy of that. I don't really care too much about the other ones, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I thought it was funny. I saw on Twitter somebody complaining to Dinesh that those aren't available to everybody. His complaint was like, you should just make these available to everybody. Like, do you not understand the purpose of these things? Like, I don't think these things are confusing. And Dinesh, responded very simply with what they were. I mean, those exist so retailers can recoup some of the cost of going to those kind of conventions and whatever, because they're basically going there to be sold stuff, So, I mean, that's why they make those things. It exposes the retailers to it, but also gives them a way to make back some of the money they have to invest in going to do that. I don't know. I just thought it was really – that's one of those things I think is really silly when somebody's like, well, I want this thing that's special and rare, so you should make it not special and rare so everybody can get it, even though that would mean most people would not want it. And then people would just complain a bit about it being a different variant at that point. You do too many variants, but I want everything I want to be fully accessible without any hassle. I don't know. I just, if the comic's going to come out eventually. So buy the comic when it comes out. This is just a preview of the comic.
Well, and I think, as you just said, some of these things there won't be a lot of demand for anyway. So I'm pretty sure I can pick that script cover up for, I don't know, $15, maybe, if that.
Well, with all the preview things, you wait till the comic comes out. $15 is pretty much the going price, yep, if not less after time, you know? Mm-hmm. I mean, the market gets very sated with those things, and we've seen it time and time again. So it's... If you want those preview copies, just wait it out a little bit. There's so many of them produced. Like, they're going to be available for cheaper and cheaper and cheaper as time goes on.
Yeah, yeah. And I know some shops don't even care about selling them. They just give them out. Especially with Valiant folks, because, you know, there's not a whole lot of Valiant fans. So if you're like a guy that's been at the shop subscribing to Valiant for, you know, whatever, they might just throw it in your box and be like, here you go. I know I've heard that from a few people that has happened.
Mm-hmm.
So, never know. I'm drinking this... I'm drinking seltzer water, Paul.
Good.
Seltzer water is my new jam.
Yeah, it is. What brand are you drinking?
Hell, I don't know. Walmart brand, I guess? I don't know. Clear American. That sounds Walmart-y. I don't know. I don't do that food shopping in here. I try not to, at least. How about that?
Yeah, I should have expected that answer, because if I asked you what kind of wine you were drinking, you'd be like, I don't know, it's in a box.
I don't buy that either. My wife does.
Yeah, we know she likes the classy boxed wines. She does.
It's her favorite. I want to do the mail order wine, but she won't let me. She's like, no, it's just cheaper to, you know, get it at the store. I'm like, all right, whatever. Because we do HelloFresh, you know, meal delivery thing. And now they're doing wine for HelloFresh as well. So, I don't know. I'll convince her eventually. Valiant Comics. Yeah. Congrats to Sean, by the way. Sean got engaged.
I know, that's awesome. Congratulations, Sean.
Yeah, Sean from Only the Valiant / that other VC show.
And all it took was him slightly quitting podcasting for a little bit, doing it at a more reasonable rate.
I mean, I think he kind of had to, right? He's been going to Dubai and stuff like every month, so.
Yeah, excuses.
Excuses.
Seriously, congratulations, Sean.
Yeah, it's cool. She seemed very excited. I'm gonna post in the show notes. Well, can I do that? I think I can do that. Valiant published the alphabet key to decoding all the secret weapon stuff.
I want somebody to tell me what that code says, because I will never find that out on my own.
What do you mean?
I will never put the piece. No. Just somebody decode it and tell me.
Oh, well.
Sean would tell me. Sean was like, no, I want you to have the fun. I'm like, I don't want to have the fun.
Oh, I figured he would have told you to listen to VCR.
No. I think he knows well enough that that ain't going to happen. I appreciate it when people respect the fact that I don't really listen to very many podcasts.
Yeah, I gotcha. He, I think it was last week's episode of VCR. Him and Chris did a breakdown of Secret Weapons number one.
Did they decode it on there?
Yeah. They he gave all the Rexo dialogue.
I might have to listen to that one to get that. That's a reasonable request.
Anyways, if you're lazy, go do that. If you want to do it yourself, I'll definitely put it in the Facebook group. God, I haven't been in the Facebook group like all week, man.
I know. You were arguing with me on something without reading the backstory on it.
No. No, incorrect, Paul. Incorrect. We can talk about that if you want. But, matter of fact, I'm going to put this right now in the Facebook group. Except I got to rename the image file because for some reason Twitter likes to make images that large. I don't know what that means, Paul. Yes.
Nobody knows what that means.
That large? That's not a thing.
It is if you're Twitter.
Apparently.
So anyways, we had a discussion in the Facebook group about a certain something that happened. I don't really want to name the comic or the creator. If you know what I'm talking about, you'll know what I'm talking about. The point, and the points that I want to make, I think, are a little peripheral to the main conversation on the subject, which is why I want to actually make the points. So a certain comic creator made a very disturbing cover that was solicited and then pulled. So one problem that I have, and this is my first problem with that sort of thing being done, is I do not like it when something that is graphic and can be offensive to any age group, or like, you know, to the younger age group, whatever. I don't like it when something like that is displayed in a way that makes it to where they're going to see it unexpectedly, you know? I don't want to go into a comic shop and see a horrible image that I have no intention of seeing because it's on the shelf. I especially don't want my child to. And that's basically that. That's one of the big problems that I had with this comic cover they solicited, is if a comic shop ordered this book and put it on its shelves, it's right there in everybody's view, and you can't unsee stuff. So if it's right there and you look at it, you looked at it, you know. And like, I would be upset if I had to see that without purposely doing so. I would be furious if my kid saw that. And I'm not saying this has to be true for everybody. And on top of that, Image did pull this cover. But if I went into my comic shop and I saw that on the shelves, I definitely would never take my kid there again.
Well,
and I would probably seriously consider not going there again myself.
So we did talk about this last night. But it seems to me comic shops would be smarter than Image was in publishing this, right? Mm-hmm. So Image apparently didn't see anything wrong with the cover itself. By the way, this book's not even out yet, okay? This book comes out in September,
mm-hmm.
right? So it's not like anybody's ever seen these. And if you want to find the cover, you need to go out and search for it. Because even a lot of the articles that talk about this cover...
Yeah, they link to it, and the link, they changed the link already, so... Correct. It's not very easy to find the image online. I was able to find it, and it wasn't even a very good quality image, but between the description of the image and seeing the poor quality version of the image, I got the point.
Sure. But my point is, all right, so Image thought it was okay to put this cover out. Whether it is or not, I'm not going to argue that semantic, okay? I understand, having heard this all this talk last night between us about the situation, having read a little bit about it today on the situation, I understand why people are upset. I also kind of understand this person's point about why maybe he doesn't really care about what people think. So I understand both sides. But the thing is, if a shop ordered this book, now this book is what, 3 issues out, right? 2 issues out, 3 issues?
Something like that, yeah.
I haven't heard anybody talking about this book until now.
Nope. I didn't know it existed.
So
I didn't even know the creator existed, though, well, until
that's your bad.
I disagree. I looked at his body of work, and I am not feeling like I'm missing anything.
There's one book that he did that I really liked, but he was actually like the Marvel like teacher guy for a long time. Because regardless of what you think about his art or his writing style, Marvel felt for a long time that that's how comics should be made. So they would have him teach all their new artists and writers how to script a book the Marvel way. Anyway, that's irrelevant. So it seems to me that if a comic shop got this book, you know, in their FedEx box or whatever from Diamond, and they saw it, I guarantee you, most of them either would put it behind the counter, or they would do like with like Sports Illustrated, where they have the little half cover thing that they put in front of the book.
Yeah, they would cover it up, something like that. Yeah, yeah, and that's the thing with it. If this actually did go to print, is it's then, you know, it's putting a burden on the retailer to have to manage and make those decisions. But they do that anyways. I mean, with books like Zombie Tramp or stuff like that, that not only do they have the regular covers that are nasty enough, but they have like explicit covers for people that want them. I've talked to my shop, my current shop owner, he'll special order those for people if they want them. That's the only way he gets those. The last shop I went to, he would order the regular covers and put them on, you know, like they would just be a regular part of his order because he had enough client base that got those, you know, mm-hmm. And then he would special order the other ones if people requested them. So, you know, I would put faith in my shop to manage it. But I think that on the side of the publisher, that it wasn't a good decision to even get that to solicit. Like, I think that, you know, as a publisher, you don't want to have a comic that a comic shop is going to be like, yep, I'm not going to put that out for anybody to see. So, but that's, you know, the first issue I had with it was just that, is it's like, you know, the main cover of a comic is meant to be seen by people. So that was one of my tripping points a little bit. The other point that bothered me with the response to it from the creator isn't that he didn't bluster about caring about what everybody thought. Like, I don't care about that, because you know what? 90% of people who say anything on the internet either say it like an idiot or they just are an idiot. People don't communicate very well on the internet. So I don't expect a creator to defend themselves to everybody or anything like that. The thing that bothered me, though, is with what the subject matter was and it being a very sensitive thing. So he did it for a reason, but his response had no empathy in it at all. So when I look at those two pieces, if he did this for a reason, he has no empathy for how people feel about it. I can't see how he did this for a good reason. That bothers me a little bit. Like, that's the part that does kind of bother me and makes me wonder how I feel about this creator. You know, he did something that is going to offend people. That doesn't bother me. You know, I mean, art offends people sometimes. Some artists do stuff intentionally to offend people. They do it to make people think about stuff, whatever. Like, there's lots of reasons to purposely make something offensive. But if you're doing it without any empathy, what's your reason? Is it just to offend people? And if it's something so sensitive and you're just out to offend people, I think there's a problem with that.
All right, so you got to explain to me what empathy has to do with this issue.
I can't explain that without getting into the specifics of what it is, which I don't really want to.
I mean, we're not going to get into specifics. The cover is graphically violent, showing a person of a certain ethnic group getting hung with their...
Just stop there. Yeah, no, it's...
All right, so...
What's the reason for making that cover? If it's to highlight social injustice, and you do that without any empathy for the people that suffer that kind of harm, you're doing it just for the shock value, and you're exploiting something that's very serious and hurtful to people. And that is where I have the problem.
Well, so my counterpoint to that is, it's not like this shit doesn't happen, right? So it seems to me like a lot of the controversy is more that people don't want to see it, right? Which I totally understand. Totally, totally understand. So don't get me wrong with that. People don't want to see this kind of stuff. But this kind of stuff does happen. So if it's shown... You can't deny it, right? And I see what you're saying.
Yeah, but the reason you show it matters.
You feel like he should apologize for doing this.
I don't even think that. I don't care about that. But his response was lacking in empathy at all. And it was probably like I didn't read his entire response, but I read enough of it to get it.
Empathy to who?
If you're going to create something like that, if you have no empathy for the people who suffer that, then you're exploiting it.
Okay.
And you're exploiting something very harmful.
But he's not exploiting it. He's pointing to the fact that it exists.
If he has no compassion for the people who suffer that, it's exploiting it for his own profit, and that's all.
Okay, but you need to explain to me what you mean by showing compassion. Because it seems to me like it's important to show that this is happening, right? So when Dysart did that LL3, nobody was like, oh my god, this is horrible that this shit's happening.
Yeah, that's because Dysart is compassionate about the people it's happening to.
Okay. But
he wants to help people in those situations. He also did Unknown Soldier, which was about child soldiers in Africa, and brought a lot of light onto that situation.
Okay, but
he didn't do it.
But some people take offense to that. I mean, our buddy Chris Campbell, he won't read that.
Yeah, he won't read it, but he's not calling for it to be banned or whatever. And some people will do that. But the thing, and I'm saying my opinion. So you know what? If you don't agree with my opinion, that's fine.
I'm not disagreeing with you, and I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm trying to get you to explain to me what you mean by he needs to show empathy.
So if Dysart did Living Level 3 and didn't give a fuck about the Iraqi people that he's writing about, and shows these graphic atrocities, which I haven't read that yet, so I have no idea how graphic it is. But say he got real graphic. He made it real nasty and gritty and dirty and just...
You read Sheriff of Avalon. Switch to that.
Yeah. Okay, so Sheriff of Avalon, that's a good example. That's a book that... it gets fairly graphic at times, but it's showing stuff that really happens. Like, I think that book is a book that can be hard to read, but is important to read. It's not going to be for everybody, but... you know, it brings a light to stuff that actually happens. So, you know, if it's just like my problem with horror flicks. If a horror flick is just a gore fest, I don't like it because it's just exploiting the violence and it's just goriness, and I don't like that. If it's a good story and it's, you know, like the more kind of thriller type of horror or psychological, or, you know, I like it more because there's something to it. There's some substance there. You have to care about what's going on. It's not just gore. Well, when you get into stuff that really happens, you know, with Sheriff of Babylon, it's exposing stuff that happens because it's bad stuff. It's not reveling in it and trying to make money off of, hey, let's show the most graphic murders we can of these people as they fucking kill each other and shit like that, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Well, with this cover, it's showing a graphic hate crime. And if it's just like, I don't give a fuck about these people, I'm going to show this graphic hate crime that people...
You're assuming that.
Well, that's the thing, is if he's not showing empathy, if he doesn't care about those people, if he's not trying to show something that's a problem, like he just said, like, this stuff really happens, so what are you complaining about? Well, what's your reason for showing it? That's my thought with it.
Because some people don't know that it happens, and a lot of people refuse to accept the fact that it happens.
Mm-hmm. And his response to it didn't feel genuine to me. So when he just is, to me, it comes across as he's doing it to make money because it's going to get attention.
No, not at all. This book's not selling.
Yeah, but
that's what I'm saying, Paul.
Why do you think he didn't
discover? Have you heard about this book before this whole thing came out? I guarantee you, 90% of people had no idea this book was even a thing. Now, I understand what the controversy is. People are upset that it's an extremely violent cover doing some extremely graphic things to a particular ethnic group. But for one, everything that I'm seeing online, nobody from that ethnic group is saying anything about this cover. It's everybody else. Okay? And I'm not saying that makes it any better, by the way. So I just want to make that clear. Do people have a right to be upset? Yes, absolutely. I have seen the cover. It's pretty fucking nasty. Okay, I also would not want to see this cover. But that doesn't change the fact, okay, that what he's doing is highlighting a particularly nasty part of our culture that people don't know or refuse to accept exists. Also, a lot of the people that I see making comments about this book have never read the book. Okay? So, how can you say, well, he's doing this to make money if you don't know how this plays into the story inside the book? See what I'm saying?
Putting an image on the cover rather than putting it in the book makes people look at the image and judge it without context.
But here's the thing, Paul. I've heard some controversy when the first issue of this book came out because the main character is transgender. And some pretty effed up shit happens to her because of the fact that she's transgender. She's still the main character. Okay? And you're seeing everything through her point of view. But people are upset that bad things happen to this character because she's transgender. And well, the point with, is, that's not
with that
why,
issue, people were upset because it was, they put the, like they had Pride variants that month, and they put a Pride variant cover on that issue with that content inside, which, you know, I can understand people being upset about that too.
Mm-hmm.
I just, when you put something on the cover, you're taking away the context of what is happening in the book. So when you choose to put an image like that on the cover, you're taking away all context because people see the cover without reading the book. If you put that same image in the book, they're reading the book to get to that point. So there's context.
Okay.
That's a choice that's made. But by a comic professional who's done this long enough to know the difference between things.
The majority of the time, what's on the cover has no consequence on what happens inside the book anyway.
It doesn't matter. So you're putting an image on the cover without any context and then complaining that people are judging it without any context.
Okay.
That's faulty right there. And then on top of that, his response led me to believe the point of view that I just shared, which I'm not going to argue about whether my point of view is right or wrong anymore.
I'm not saying your point of view is right or wrong either. I'm trying to understand this whole situation, Paul. Okay, because while I agree that this maybe shouldn't be on a cover, the point of the matter is the cover was solicited and people have seen it. Okay, and so now that's where the argument is. And there probably shouldn't even be an argument because now the cover is not even going to be the cover anymore. You see what I'm saying? I don't understand when people say, well, he's trying to do this for money or, you know, he should apologize. Like, he doesn't necessarily need to apologize. Okay? He has very strong opinions on why this is the right thing. Okay? And does it upset some people? Yes. But I guarantee you, some comic shops wouldn't even order this book because of the cover. And even when they got it in, I'm sure some of them will cover it out, put it behind the counter, whatever it is. I showed you that picture of the Savage Dragon cover. Right? I put it on Twitter, I know that. That's a pretty graphic cover. I don't see anybody complaining about that.
Is that the regular cover or is that a variant cover?
It's a variant cover.
There you go.
Okay.
There are plenty of comics that do variant covers. And honestly, I think that's stupid. I think it's disgraceful to Image put out some shit like that. That cover drops my opinion of Image. It drops my opinion of Eric Larson. Like, anybody who would want to do that. I mean, Savage Dragon's been running forever. Like, why would you want to do that to it? Like, I mean, obviously they want to do it to make money. That's,
oh, sure.
I mean, yeah, that's why they're doing that.
It's a $13 cover.
Yeah. But to me, it's like, and it's not like I'm a big Savage Dragon fan or anything, but like now I'm going from like, I might check out Savage Dragon one of these days when I feel like reading something a little different. It's now I'm like, nope, not interested. And that it also just, that affects my views on Image a little bit too. So now Image as a publisher has done two things very recently that are making me like more and more like I'm getting more and more disinterested in Image. Like, it used to be, okay, an Image book, if something tickles my fancy about it, I'll probably check it out because Image has some pretty good quality stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But I've also been less and less impressed with Image books as time goes on.
Mm-hmm.
And then stuff like this, I'm losing the benefit of the doubt for the publisher at all, you know? Those two things really... it's making me step away from Image, just like if NBC decides to run nasty horror movie commercials during the NBA Finals. It's affecting my opinion on NBC. I'm going to be less likely to watch stuff on NBC just because it's on NBC and I like what they do. Because you know what? They're making decisions that affect my ability to enjoy what they're doing.
Yeah, but if the NBA Finals are on NBC again, you're still going to watch them.
I won't watch them for a long time. I'm a Lakers fan.
But you get my point. Okay, if the Lakers made the championship again next year, you would still watch the NBA Finals, even if it were on NBC.
Yeah, and that's like saying if Image published Ninja Turtles, well, I would still keep getting Ninja Turtles. Yeah, you know, I would put up with it for that because I love Ninja Turtles. But there may be a point where they cross the line too far, and I actually say, like, no, I'm not going to do this anymore at all, you know? It's just... It's questionable decisions on the publisher's part for me. As far as the creator's decision to make that cover, you know, like I said, obviously the book's not making a lot of money, but I really question why. Like, he knows what he's doing, so I don't know. Like, I just, it really kind of puts it all up in the air. And like I said, I didn't know this creator before this all happened either. I looked him up because that's usually what I do when somebody catches my attention, whether it be good or bad. I want to have some more context. I talk to other people and get opinions about them. Like, one of the guys on the Valiant Central Facebook group said he's a really good guy. So I asked why, you know, what makes him a really good guy? And he said, you know, every time he sees him at a show, like, he's able to have conversations with him, and not a lot of people do that anymore. So that's hard to find, you know? I mean, like, and that's the kind of stuff you don't know unless you actually experience or talk to somebody who does. But, mm-hmm. you know, so in our little private conversation on Facebook Messenger, you know, I said that this has a bearing on me, and one of our friends said, why? You don't even know who he is. You don't like him. I said, well, yeah. No, it wasn't you. It was Nick.
Oh, okay.
And I said, yeah, exactly. It has a bearing. So I didn't know who he was, but I'm going to find out who he is eventually. So now when I go back to one of his prior works, like you mentioned, there's one book in particular that you like. Well, if you recommended that to me after this, I'm probably just going to say, no, not interested. Because
right.
I don't, it's not enough. Like, this is like a negative against me checking his stuff out. You know, I'm not condemning him to hell because he did this. I'm not, you know, fuck him, he needs to die. That stuff's ridiculous. But if I was on the fence, it's going to put me on the, nah, just not going to bother with it side of the fence.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, that's my opinions about it. I don't like getting caught up in all this stuff. And I saw, the only reason I even found out about this was Patrick Zercher was tweeting about it. And I saw him tweeting, and of course, like, most of the responses to his tweets are stupid stuff. Like, you're a white man. You have no place to make any kind of comment on this. And I look at the person saying that, and it's like a white woman. Sure. I'm like, okay, so because like only a white man specifically is the only like criteria that you cannot have an opinion on anything. That doesn't make any sense. But yes, I looked at what Zercher said, and like, generally, I'm always in defense of the artist, even if I don't love what they did. The Spider-Woman cover, it was kind of tasteless, but whatever. The uproar was stupid. I thought, was it Frank Cho that jumped on that band? Who was it that jumped on that bandwagon?
Yeah, and Cho's been involved in a few controversies himself.
Anyway. Yeah, like, I thought he came off as a douchebag pretty much with it, but it's like, whatever, he's just being a douchebag. But the whole thing, it was just pretty much stupid and overblown. The Batgirl cover with the Joker, like, that was a fantastic cover. And, like, I thought that artist got bullied out of publishing something great
mm-hmm.
Because of people's reactions. You know, so like it, generally when this stuff happens, it's the I don't like this, I don't want it, so it shouldn't exist, and I'm completely against that. Even in this case, I don't like this, I don't want it. That doesn't mean it shouldn't exist. Like they made the decision already to make it not exist. Mm-hmm. I still think it was a bad decision to do it, to solicit it. And I question the reasoning behind it based on what I saw of the creator's response to people's feelings about it.
Okay. I mean, that's fair.
So that's what I want to talk about is I am not on the same wavelength of all the crap you see online about it. But I think people need to really think about when they see things like this, see things that bother them, what about it bothers you? And like really get into what matters about it and really think about who does it affect? Why does it affect them? Why do these things matter? I know too many people who have to deal with serious stuff to see stuff like this and not say, hey, there's kind of a problem with this when it really just looks like you're exploiting somebody else's problem.
Mm-hmm.
It bothers me. And so when I really think it out, and, you know, seeing different people's responses to it have helped me kind of figure out how I feel about it. It's like Daryl was posting about it and saying, you know, he's not offended by it, but people have the right to be offended by it. And I think that, like, that's a good kind of point of view. Like, I'm offended by it because I don't like to see images like that. But I also think people have the right not to be offended by it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So you got to think about like what really matters. And like when you're having a conversation about it, like get into those details. Like for me, the first thing that really matters is anything that could have a negative impact on my kid because of it being made too available. I have a problem with that.
Okay. Well, I mean, I want to thank you for not being an asshole about it. That's for one. Because one of the reasons I've been avoiding reading a lot about the whole situation was because as soon as you start reading what's going on, it's whoever's writing the article on it is being sensationalist.
Mm-hmm.
Because of course they want people to get emotionally attached to their article and you know whatever, share it with people. So they're being sensationalist, and to be honest, I think very fake. All the comments that you see on these are all the social justice warriors who think they're right and everybody else is wrong, or trolls who, you know, just do it for the lulz and they're being assholes about it. So I haven't looked very hard either because I've been trying to avoid a lot of this, but I haven't seen a lot of good conversation.
No, that's the problem. And that's why I wanted to say my two cents on it is, There's not enough good conversation about this stuff. And, you know, the conversation that we had in our little podcast Facebook group was actually, like, everybody kept it tight. You know, it was a good conversation.
Mm-hmm.
People made their points of view, but there wasn't debate on people's points of view. And that's one thing with something like this, too, is, like, I said what I thought. Nobody debated what I thought.
Sure.
But other people said what they thought, too.
Well, and I think that's the key, right? Like, everyone should be able to express their opinions. And not one person's opinions are not any better than another's. But what we always need to remember is you need to respect other people's opinions. And if you disagree with them, that's your right. But don't be an asshole about it. And really, that's been the central theme of this podcast, Paul, for 133 episodes, is don't be an asshole about it. You know, you and I have different backgrounds and we disagree on a lot of things. But we still chat every week. We're still friends. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's no reason not to like somebody just because of the opinions that they have. Unless those opinions, you know, are a little extreme and maybe hurtful to people. So, like, if you were, you know, in the KKK, I probably wouldn't be your friend, Paul. You know what I'm saying? But, like, the fact that you don't like this cover or this man's art, frankly... It kind of bothers me that you don't even know who he is, but that's okay. this guy's been pushing the envelope since the 70s. You know what I'm saying? So, like,
yeah, I think that's what Nick said.
This is nothing new to him.
You know, and You know, that point of view too. I go back to my problems with the original run of Harbinger. Things are different nowadays, and I think it's too easy sometimes for people to say, "Well, they've been doing this for so long. You know, they've been pushing the boundaries for so long." You know, you can't just at some point just like chalk it up to boundary pushing. I mean, you go back to the first run of Harbinger in the 90s. The stuff that they did, like, you know, comics gets away with way the hell more than other mediums would. Like, they could have some horrible shit in comics and just you don't even hear about it on a grander scale because, like, the greater public doesn't give a fuck. But if you do that kind of stuff in a movie or on a TV show, everybody would know, you know? But yeah, like, man, the early Harbinger stuff, there was some really rough, misogynistic violence towards women stuff in there that you don't see in Harbinger since the relaunch because they kind of, you know, I mean, Dysart kind of has a little better head on his shoulders about that stuff than, was it, who wrote Harbinger? Was it Lapham? Or did Shooter start it off?
Shooter and Lapham, yeah.
Yeah. So I don't know. When somebody says, oh, well, they've been doing this since then, it's like, well, yeah, different stuff flew then, and I'm not okay with just saying that, like, oh, well, they did it then, and they could do it now, when you look at fine then.
You're taking that the wrong way. I'm not saying it's an excuse for him to do this kind of thing. What I'm saying is, for people that are familiar with this creator, you are already aware that he always tries to push the boundaries. Okay, so if one thing is not socially acceptable, he's going to keep pushing on that until he can get beyond that. Okay, and when you look back on it, it's not really not that big a deal. Okay, so like everyone knows who the hell we're talking about.
Yeah.
Like American Flag and Black Kiss, like those are both, like at the time when they came out, you know, everyone talks about Watchmen changing comics. Like there were other comics changing comics before Watchmen. You see what I'm saying?
No, only Watchmen.
Yeah, Watchmen is the only thing that ever mattered in comics.
Yeah, it changed everything.
Yeah.
That's literally the only change that ever happened in comics too, by the way.
There were other people doing dark things in comics before Watchmen. And this creator was one of those people. And so that's what I'm saying. He's always been pushing the boundaries. I mean, to your point about this shit not flying somewhere else, I don't know if I agree with that entirely. I mean, as a horror movie fan, I've seen much worse than what this cover showed. So, you know, to that respect, I don't see, like, what the thing is. It seems to me it's more about this being in a comic than anything else. You see what I'm saying?
I think it's more about it being on the cover rather than just being in it. Because there's horrible stuff in plenty of comics. Yeah, there are some really, really horrible comics out there. There's some, you know, I mean, horrible stuff depicting, you know, sensitive topics in comics out there. But, you know, it's the difference between shoving it in people's faces without giving them the choice.
Yeah, I don't know.
Having it inside.
I'll be perfectly honest. I think a lot of this bullshit just has to do with people that are overly sensitive trying to make their opinion the best opinion. Because I also saw there's a controversy in another comic, EC Comics 25, I think it is, maybe something like that, which I love. I love EC Comics, by the way. They're like... I mean, I didn't even know they were back, but they've been around for forever. And they used to put out, like, horror anthologies. Kind of like, you know, Tales from the Crypt and things like that. Those came from EC. And I guess they're republishing now. There's a cover, an upcoming cover of an EC Archives or a DC Comics strip, where there's a guy holding a knife and he's holding a woman's head. But you don't see, there's no blood. You don't even see her neck, right? So, like, you pretty much just see the guy holding her head. And there's a huge controversy about this because, of course, like, oh, you know, it's a woman's head, blah, blah, blah. Like, what does that have to do with anything, you know? Would it make you feel better if it was a white man's head on the cover? Like, is that okay? I don't know. I just think sometimes people think a little too much into things, and they just complain just so somebody hears what they have to say.
Well, I think that's often the case. I don't think it's the case with this one, because I don't do that, and I have a problem with this one. But it wouldn't have been blown to the proportions it's been blown to if it wasn't for the fact that people do that.
Correct.
I mean, I probably wouldn't have even known about it. The only reason I knew about it is because I happened to follow one creator who talked about it. Mm-hmm. Is basically why I know about it. But it just got me to thinking about the problem that almost everybody has with talking about what they feel. Is they're just shooting stuff out there and not really thinking about what they feel or why they feel it. They're just jumping on the bandwagon, or they're, you know, whatever. All the flaws with the way people discuss things online. Mm-hmm. That's why online is horrible. And so are comics. So stop reading them all.
Stop reading comics. Get off the internet. Go live on a mountain somewhere. Start a podcast commune. We're starting the United States of Podcastia, so if anyone wants to join, there's a test. If you're a troll, get the hell out of here. I don't have anything else. I didn't realize San Diego was so soon. Maybe there's going to be some Ninja versus the Valiant Universe news. I just can't stop laughing, Paul. I'm sorry. That's been a year or more, right, since that was announced?
I don't know anymore. I can't pass time by Valiant's releasing of alternate forms of media, because it's just going to drive us all to an early grave. I think I saw something on Twitter that they wrapped.
Oh, did they?
Yeah. I may be wrong, but I think they may have rapped on it, but yeah.
I'll have to look that up. I know JDF has a panel, so I assumed they would announce something there. Because I don't think Valiant does anything, right? They always do New York Comic Con instead of San Diego.
Yeah, San Diego is just such a cluster. Mm-hmm. There's just so much stuff going on. Not that I've ever been to it, but I probably never would, because I don't want that. I think they would just get lost in the mix too much, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Seems like they have a little more roots in New York, I guess.
Yeah. All right, let's wrap this up, Paul. This conversation has made me very upset. Not really, I don't care. I also don't apologize for this conversation. If you don't like it, that's too bad. I'm still going to have it. Matter of fact, next episode, I'm going to have it again, but more graphically. I'll use more profanity next time. How about that? let's see. Paul's at his Paul. I'm at Geekvine. Facebook.com/group/Valiant Central is the Facebook group. I'm very impressed. I will say, Paul, I will say this. I'm very impressed with our group. Because nobody, disrespects each other in there. And I think that's pretty important.
Especially, yeah, we just had to yell at one guy for a while and then things settled down.
Especially after you let in all these hooligans into the group. They've been doing good, too. You know what I mean?
Yeah, once we had 20 requests, and neither, you and I are both too busy to actually try to check people out. So you know what? I'm just going to let them all in. And then I posted a message and said, hey, the rule is very simple. If you act like an asshole, I'll throw you right back out. That's all there is to it.
Dang, you let 23 people in here?
I have no idea how many people I let in.
I'm looking at it. 23
new members. I approved everybody.
God damn it.
I told you, I just approved everybody.
All right. All right, I'll forgive you this time.
I don't want your forgiveness. Good. I don't seek your forgiveness.
Good. This podcast is over. Episode 133 is the last episode.
We've had a lot of last episodes lately.
Oh, man. Yeah, I think that's it, Paul. Bye. Have a good night. Thanks for listening.
I wasn't listening.
I never listen. Every time you talk, I just take my headphones off. Put my mic on mute.